5. You won't need to stand tonight. I'm going to read some verses and go right into the teaching. I ask you to remember the Mike Stone family and the Andy Merrill family, their wives and children. Both of these men have passed, left behind wives and children at a young age. You pray for those families. We're mighty blessed to have what we have tonight. And it's not about the gifts under a tree. It's about the main gift that was put on a tree. And then if we have the love of Christ that passes all understanding, and well, we have each other. As Brother Kevin prayed, not only has God put us in a church, He's put us in a great church. I thank the Lord for that. Well, Galatians chapter number 5, and teaching on the fruit of the Spirit. And we see in verse number 22, but the fruit singular of the Spirit. He says if you have the Spirit, then there are a lot of attributes, there are a lot of characteristics that make up one fruit. And that one fruit, first of all, starts with love, and it's the main factor. Boy, couldn't our lives be changed if we had the right love for God, the right love for His Word, and the right love one for another. Matter of fact, Jesus said, "They'll know you're My disciples if you have love one for another." If you talk about your brother and sister, people hear that. It reflects a bad approach upon you and Christ, upon your testimony. And then he says joy. Only joy comes by Jesus. A lot of people's looking for joy in the wrong places. But only Jesus gives joy. And then peace. We have the peace of God, peace with God. And I'm glad I'm at peace with Him tonight. And then long-suffering, it's tolerance. Boy, that would do us all good. Gentleness, that never hurts anybody to be a little gentle. Then just old-timey goodness, we've lost a lot of that. Generation is passing that knew something about goodness. Just sort of chip in and help when the chips were down and the fields needed plowing or crops needed gathering. They'd pitch in together and just have some old-timey goodness and kindness. And then tonight, there's a little word that will impact your life that has impacted everybody's life. It's only made up of 5 letters, but oh, how astounding it has changed every one of us that's saved by the grace of God, and that's faith. Now, in Romans 12, in verse number 3, God has given to every man a measure of faith. And let's mark that and let's look at that in Romans chapter 12. Let's look there this evening, Romans 12. In verse number 1, he says, I beseech you, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. He said, I'm not asking too much out of you to live for me. And that you be not conformed to this world. We better be careful how we dress, how we act, how we talk. Amen. I don't think a lady ought to dye her hair blue myself. Some of y'all get that Clairol all mixed up, and if it turned out blue, I'd stay there a while longer. He said, don't be conformed to this world. And let me tell you, God didn't build this church for the world. He built it for the called out ones, the church, the born again Christian. And isn't it amazing, be not conformed to this world. Can you think tonight, and I don't want to get off on a tangent, don't want to get on a bandbox, but you think about the multitude of ministries that's headed that direction to the world. You know why? Because they're wanting to reach a worldly people. I want to reach sinners that get saved and be changed from the world. You know, marketing can fill our church up. If we want to give away a flat screen, I guarantee you I can run an ad in the Bowden newspaper starting next week. And we're going to have a drawing for a 32-inch flat screen TV every Sunday the rest of the year. The house will be packed. But don't be conformed to this world. And he said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And he speaks to talk about gifts, motivational gifts. Well, God has blessed some people to sing, and some He's just not blessed to sing. Amen? And He's blessed some to preach, and let's face it, some He just ain't blessed to preach. But He says, whatever I've blessed you with, don't get to thinking too much about what you're doing, because it's a gift. And so He said, but think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, faith is very important. Without faith, you'll die and go to hell in your sin. You see, you can preach all the gospel you want to preach. Jesus died one time for all. That's all He had to die. But anybody that don't access grace by faith will die and go to hell in their sin. A lot of people's asked me what faith is. I've done a study in the book of Hebrews not long ago. I was preaching a sermon on faith, and I was building this sermon. And I'll be honest with you, I've always sort of grasped at trying to explain what faith is. And one of the writers so clarified it for me, so easy. And every time now I think of what faith is, you know, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not some wistful thinking, but it is a belief in the Word of God, which controls one's behavior. So faith is believing in the Word of God, which controls our behavior. That's faith. It's believing what God said to be so. Now, I'm going to tell you why people don't get saved. They don't believe they're going to die and go to hell. But when the Holy Ghost come on me and showed me I was going to die and go to hell, I hollered calf rope. I was ready to believe. And so God's given to every man the measure of faith. Now, how does faith come? It seems like inside God has put in every man a measure of faith. Some have more faith than others. But I simply ask you tonight, what are you doing with the faith that God has given you? Because within every one of us there is a measure of faith. That means that some have more than others. But with the faith God's given you, what are you doing with it? Now look what He says. We can sort of think about this a minute. When God made us, He stuck faith down in us. And then He says this in Romans 10 and 17. Watch what the Bible says. So then, faith cometh. It's a going someplace. It cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. You cannot get saved without the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now listen, our church is built on preaching. We ought to have people that is so faith-based, it's unbelievable. And then, do you notice how smoothing and how quaint the devil is to try to get the Word of God out of churches? Because faith dwindles. You see, faith cometh by hearing. Not heard, but by hearing. Isn't it amazing? This has always amazed me about preaching. There's some sermons I'll never forget. And a lot of you can go back in your minds and you can remember maybe in revival meetings or some people that came and they preached, and you remember how the Spirit of God moved and it was wonderful and you went out charged, and I mean God helped you, but you really don't remember a lot about it. You just know it happened. That's why we need to hear and to hear and to hear. I mean, thank God for Wednesday midweek prayer meeting. the reason some people's faith is so weak, they don't come to church to hear enough preaching to get their faith built up. Somebody say amen. And so we see faith cometh. Boy, when God's put that faith in you and the Word of God comes by, it's just like it draws that faith out and makes something out of you in spite of yourself. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let me tell you something. A preacher don't have to knock the sermon out of the park every time he preaches. God requires faithfulness. There is no bad word in the whole book. And a lot of times, Brother Dennis, Brother Mike, the devil will get preachers, well, you know, it wasn't just a powerful message and it didn't sweep the pews out and people wouldn't jump in pews and all excited. But let me tell you, honey, every place in that book is a good place. And so he said, faith didn't come by just a few sermons, but he said, by the Word of God. It will amaze you what you find in this book if you'll just read it. The Word of God. And then we see in Ephesians 2 and verse 8 about faith. He says, for by grace are you saved. But he didn't stop. He said, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So we're saved by grace through faith, minus plus nothing. A lot of people talk about baptism. You got to be baptized to go to heaven. That's not in your Bible. Dawned on me today, Brother Gerald and I was reading about some things about the Apostle Paul. Did you notice this? Anytime the Apostle Paul, anytime that he ever looks back to what happened to him, you never hear him say nothing about he got baptized. He's always talking about when he met Christ. You know something, what a real testimony is? It ain't, have you joined the church or been baptized, honey? Have you met the Lord Jesus Christ by grace through faith? Paul always exalted the Savior, said, I remember the day I was blinded, but suddenly noonday, O King, a sun shined about me. The light came, and I got gloriously saved on the Damascus Road. Paul's not excited about his baptism. He's excited about the grace of God that passes all understanding. And so we're saved by grace. And then you ever wonder why some people don't get saved and they sit in the church and they listen to the Word of God? Look at Hebrews 4, verse number 1. It amazes me. The Bible says the wind bloweth where it listeth. That simply means it blows where it's sent. And it amazes me how somebody can sit on a pew Sunday after Sunday and never get saved. They've never made a profession for Christ. And they just simply drift out of the church and they've never been saved. I've wondered about that. In Hebrews chapter number 4, the Bible said, verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, and any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, look here, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Now, tonight, this thing of faith, the reason they didn't get saved is because they did not have the faith to get saved. You've got to have faith to get saved. They would not believe to be saved. He said the same gospel that you believe, said they heard it, but they wouldn't believe it. We ought to thank God that we've had faith that believed. See, God's no respecter of person. He says He's given every man the measure of faith. I'm just glad the Holy Ghost come by and made our wanter get real wanting. So, it wasn't mixed with faith. And then in Romans 10 and 9, you ought to underline this verse. Great soul winning verse. Romans 10 and verse number 9. You ought to have this underlined so you can show somebody sometime. Romans 10 and verse number 9. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, there's a key piece, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You've got to believe to be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You ought to thank God for a preacher. I mean, you ought to thank God for a preacher. You ought to hold a preacher in a very, very special place in your life. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 17, then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thank God for my preacher that preached that I believed. Thank God for my preacher that preached the word of God when I believe. And so this thing of faith, we must believe. And so we see that God's dealt to every man the measure of faith. And then faith is built up. Faith gets bigger by preaching. And then we're saved by faith. And we found out people that are not saved, that they didn't mix the word of God with faith to believe. Then the Bible says, once we're saved, in Colossians 2 and 5, something about faith. Colossians 2 and verse number 5. He says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the spirit. Joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Here it is, rooted and built up in Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. As ye've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Boy, we ought to be such a thankful people. And He's telling us that we ought to be established and rooted and built up in Him, but established in the faith. Now, the only way you're going to become established in the faith is to hear the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And Jesus says once we've been saved by grace through faith, He wants us to be grounded or established in faith, that nobody would come by and rock your world with what they'd say. If somebody come to you and said this, if you're not baptized, you can't go to heaven. Would that rock your world if you hadn't been baptized? Do you know enough gospel to know? What if somebody told you this, you've got to join a church to go to heaven? What if they told you this, that He didn't die for all? Well, that would confuse me, Brother Jerry. Well, no, was I one of them He died for? He died for everybody. There's all kinds of doctrines drifting and floating. But He said, I want you rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. And so it is our responsibility to be established in the faith. Now, He tells us in Ephesians 6 and 16, in our warfare, He tells us that we have a shield of faith. Hebrews 6 and verse number 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, if I take the shield of faith, what am I saying? You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, God, I believe every word in Your book is so. And I'm grabbing the shield of faith. God, I believe in that what You said is so in this book. That's the shield of faith tonight. Thank God I've got a shield of faith. I'm glad I believe this book, and I'm glad this book has changed my life. So we have a shield of faith. And then in Philippians 1 and verse number 27, Philippians 1 and verse number 27, only let your conversation, that word's behavior, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, how do we strive together for the faith of the gospel? Okay, let me ask you this. What about your church attendance? What about your praying? What about your reading? What about the unity of the Spirit? What about giving in our missions? In that, contending for the faith? In that, doing our part, striving together for the faith of the gospel? So, we're called upon to strive together. Now, you know yourself, 300 can do more than 10. And I don't care what anybody says, there is power in numbers. The right kind of numbers. And if we can get just the anatomy of our church, this is the nucleus of our church, praying and striving together for the faith, this community wouldn't hold us. I don't know if it bothers you, but it bothers me that so many times we've got so many opportunities, but we're not using them for Christ. Oh, we ought to strive together for the faith of the gospel. And then in Jude, verse number 3, and then we go to another area of thinking. But in Jude, verse number 3, he said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." That means to struggle for, contend. So he says this, "I exhort you, or I encourage you that you should earnestly struggle for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in of unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, let's look here just a minute. Certain men crept unawares. They were sneaky. A lot of men come through and they started religions. And it's amazing what people believe. He says, they're denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. If they're not preaching that Jesus is the way to heaven, they're wrong. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. Works, water baptism, giving money, none of that gets anybody to heaven. It's the grace of the Lord Jesus that died on a cross for the sins of me and you. And by faith we've accessed that grace, and God's declared us righteous by the perfection of His darling Son." That amazes me. That amazes me. The Spirit of God baptized us into Christ and put Christ in us. That's amazing to me. You say, "Preacher, you believe it?" Oh, I more than believe it. I'm living it. I know it's so. And so faith. Now, faith is the root, and faithfulness is the fruit. When you see that in Galatians 5, the interpretation of that word faith is a little different. It means faithfulness. Faithfulness. So he says, you know what? He said, the Spirit of God lives in you. There ought to be some faithfulness coming out of you. Now, I'm going to tell you what. If there's anything that I'll jump up on the bandbox about is faithfulness. I don't understand why people won't get faithful. I don't understand why they use God like a spare tire. They have a flat, pull him out of the trunk, ride him around a little bit. Everything gets right, put him back in the trunk, and they say, well, you'll be there next time I need you. And you know, just like our God, he probably will be. But boy, in that sort of shamefacedness. I've never liked nobody just to use me, have you? I mean, let's be honest. I wonder how God feels about some of our church members. We go to Liberty Baptist Church. You can't prove it by me. Amen? Faithfulness. Now, faith is the root, but faithfulness is the fruit. This word faithfulness, by the way, it means reliable, trustworthy, and loyal. Reliable, trustworthy, and loyal. I was always that way with my employer. Whatever I'd done it hog wild. And I know I'm geared that way. But it doesn't matter. A person that's not geared like this obsessive, compulsive behavior that I have, we still ought to be faithful. Now, in Psalms 31 and 23, let's look there. Psalms 31 and 23. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth. I looked up that word this evening. It means to guard. For the Lord preserveth what? The faithful. And plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. He is faithful. And then in Proverbs 28 and 20. Proverbs 28 and 20. Talking about reliable, trustworthy, and loyal. Proverbs 28 and verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. You know, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm one of the happiest people you've ever seen in your life tonight. And I'm not whining and make a lot less than I used to make. But you know something? All that time I was chasing a whirlwind, I wasn't really happy. But I'm happy tonight. Man, God's given me a good four-wheeler, a good truck, a good Suburban, a new deer rifle this year, a good family, two deer stands. How many deer stands can I get in at one time? I'm a happy man. Folks, you ain't got to have a lot to be happy. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be. You know, God offered me something 4 years ago. He said, Ken, I want you to go full-time ministry. And the devil told me so much stuff. But I knew what God had put right there. And I believe that verse tonight, seek ye first. It don't matter to me that I'm not running with the big dogs. It don't bother me that I'm not up on that corporate ladder. I've got the highest position known to man right here tonight. Preaching the gospel. Seek ye first. Wonder how many times we'd been so much better if we'd just sought first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. People kill me. They come to our church and love our church. Man, they said, ooh, this is the best thing since sliced bread. I remember a woman come, sat in the middle there. She was here about 3 weeks. Man, she couldn't get enough preaching. She loved the worship. She loved the old songs. Brother David, Brother Tim was late. She loved this place. And all of a sudden, I turned around, she wasn't here no more. Ain't it amazing why people just get all in? I mean, man, this is wonderful. Where'd they go? If it's so wonderful, where'd you go? God, I'm glad they ain't voting on a preacher this year. Isn't that the truth? faithful. Seek ye first. Now, 1 Corinthians 4, verse number 2. 1 Corinthians 4 and 2. I believe the leadership of our church should be faithful. I believe if you teach a class, you ought to be faithful. I believe if you hold a position in this church, you ought to be faithful. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to share my heart. I'm just sort of spilling my guts tonight. The devil will eat me up when I go home. But it's Christmas this week, and I'm fixing to go try to have Christmas with my family. But I said all that to say this. You know, if children is going to look and say, "Where's my teacher?" You don't need to be a teacher. And if they're saying, you know something, I guarantee you, I could probably, I don't know how many Sundays I could preach off. But it bothers me when I miss here. I preach usually one Sunday away from this church, that's it. My family's told me, I don't know how many times, "Daddy, why don't we just go and take off Sunday?" And we need to. I mean, we need to. But I'm going to tell you, I'm miserable when I ain't here. I think that a steward, just what the Bible says right here, this is one in leadership. It says 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 2. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Listen, your children ought to see you faithful. They're watching you. They're looking at you. We had a grandparent. I don't know how old this child is. I guess she's 2, just starting to talk. You know what she told her granddad the other week? You know what she said? "Booyah." You think they ain't listening? You know where she heard that? She heard that right here. They listen when you don't think they listening. And they watching when you think they ain't watching. We're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. You know what we can? We can be faithful. We can be faithful to our church. And you know, everybody needs vacation. I'm not harping on vacation. But when we hunting reasons to miss church, something's wrong. Everybody needs vacation. Let me ask you this. If you was employed 16 years at a company, wouldn't you get 4 weeks a year? Well, I ought to be gone 4 Sundays a year, but I can't. Y'all just soak on that a few minutes. God requires me to be faithful. And just not in attendance. Just not attendance. That's just first base. I mean, going to church, basic. Me and Brother Mike talk about a lot. You know, Sunday, man, it looked like some people took a whipping to get here Sunday. And they look like, that kid, that tears my last nerve up. If it's so bad, why do you come here and bring a bad spirit on this church? You think about it. I'm trying to study and get you to God, and then some deadhead coming here don't want to be here, and 4 or 5 looking and a whining, and then they're going to try to kill the meeting, and you think I don't get upset. I've done labor and tried to get with God all week and get in the Holy Ghost, and then come in and somebody throw a bucket of water on the meeting. I don't like it. And I don't have to like it. No place in that book shows me where I have to like it. He just says I can't be a brawler. I wish I could be. Boy, I'm telling you, I wish I could be sometimes. But I can sure tell you how I feel about it and how this book feels about it. We ought to be so excited when we get here and so praise God. We're just waiting to get. I wish we could do like black folks go to church. I wish we'd get here about 10 o'clock and, buddy, let it go. I mean, let it rip. Get out 1:30, 2 o'clock, and we done. Glory to God. We've been to meeting. We just fool ourselves. Fool ourselves. And this is what kills me about people. Well, Brother Ken, I wish he'd preach. Well, I wish you'd pray for me. Much you talk about me. And you sit there like this. And bless me, preacher. Get me way up high. Bible says, keep your own selves in the love of God. We ought to come here to rejoice and worship. I mean, we ought to be ready. We ought to be filled with the Word and prayed up and ready to go when we get here. Some of you fussing, fighting, slamming car doors, and then wondering why we ain't having meetings like what we used to have. The Lord ain't went nowhere. And boy, we get used to each other, don't we? One of the best analogies I know, and I'm not throwing off on Miss Renee. I mean, I made fun of her biscuits one time, Brother David. She's never made them again. I've learned. My mama made the best biscuits I've ever eaten in the conversation. And she had white milk gravy, and it's so thick, she could hold her spoon up, and they'd just stay on the spoon. And she'd do this on your biscuit. Sort of slang it off. Y'all wouldn't have liked it at our house, though. My mama wouldn't. She didn't have a dishwasher. When they'd go over there, she'd analyze everything before she'd eat, you know. But anyway, I see, none of y'all was never raised in the country. This is what my mama do. Now, she'd feed the dog out of the gravy bowl. Some of y'all can't. Renee sat down on the table one time, and I seen when she seen it. She looked off, and what happened? Had a big old German Shepherd dog, and he about to eat the ears off that gravy bowl out in the yard. My mama had that gravy in that bowl, you know. Renee looked at that bowl, and she passed it right on by, and it come by. We got up. She said, "Does your mama feed that dog out of that bowl?" I said, "Yeah, but she washes it real good." Glory to God. Ain't it good? Ain't it good? Ain't it good? But I'm going to tell you what, my mama, she can make biscuits. It's just unbelievable. And you know, for 18 years, I took them for granted. I mean, I did. I didn't realize what I had. And we had a special time once a week. Mama would fry chicken wings and have fried chicken, white milk gravy, and biscuit for breakfast. It just, I mean, it just don't get no better than that unless you got fried rabbit in there. Somebody say amen. But you know, when I left, I really realized what I had. But I didn't know. And that's the way some of y'all, or a lot of y'all are in this church. You don't realize what you got at this church. You don't realize what you got. You know, you realize that when you first came and realized how God's meeting with you and how we could do things and get the gospel out. But now you just sort of sit there and say, well, this is the way it is everywhere. Folks, this ain't the way it is everywhere. And we ought to thank God for what He's doing for us around here. And we ought to have a grateful heart and a gracious spirit. This thing, when we have faith, faithfulness ought to come out. It ought to flow forth. It's a fruit. And we need to be more faithful to God, and we need to be more faithful to Christ. We need to be more faithful to His church. Let me ask y'all something. If every member here was just like you, what kind of church would we have tonight? Do you pay your tithes? Do you want to come? Does your children know this is where we're going to be? Praise God if they do, and you are. Thank God for you. But we've got to be faithful to God and to God's house. Now He says this in Hebrews 10 and verse number 24. Hebrews 10 and verse 24. And you know something? Don't never think that I don't. Because I love ministering. I love helping our people. But I want them faithful. I don't want somebody just to call me on Saturday night and say, "Preacher, come running down here," and I ain't seen them in 7 weeks. How would you feel? How would you feel? But they do that a lot. I don't say nothing. I know it's part of the territory. But in the back of me, I'm saying, "Well, I wish you would get faithful to church." Look what it says. Hebrews 10:25. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another." Boy, we need it. "Exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." I'm going to tell you, folks, if it's ever been a time that we need to be together and encouraged, it's tonight. We need to be faithful to our homes and our family. Daddies, we all be the spiritual leader. We're going to give an account. And ladies, this is where you ought to learn what the Bible says. Your husband's going to give an account for leadership at your home. And if you try to stand in the way of what he's needing to do, you're going to give an account for that. How miserable it would be to live with a woman that always bucked everything that I wanted to do for God. How miserable that'd be. You can't, listen, ladies, he can't do what God wants him to do like that. If you always just a nagging and encourage your husband, encourage him, love him. And then men, if we would be faithful to our wives and love them as Christ loved the church, what he give for the church? He gave his life for the church. We're so self-centered. Some of you boys have got all the toys and trinkets and your wife is wearing old flyer sacks. She'd like to have a nice pocketbook. You'd like to have a nice shotgun. Don't get quiet on me now. It's Christmas. Encourage me. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. And then the children ought to be faithful to the parents. You know, it amazes me how 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kids run a house. It makes you look so silly. You're not preaching to me. You're exactly who I'm preaching to. Your kids calling the shots at your house. Won't you quit being their buddy and be their mom and daddy? You ain't going to get nowhere being their buddy. They need a mama and a daddy. And sometimes mom and daddies have to say stuff they don't want to say, but it's true. And I done found this out, buddy, about preaching. And they can give every excuse in the country about it. The hit dog hollers. "I don't like you, preacher." "No, you don't like this book. I know I've got some things I can work on mannerisms, and I'm trying. I am trying, but I ain't made it yet. And some of you make them flaws rise to the top." "Some people just bring the worst out in me. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Appreciate you being here."